I think someone asked Sean Payton that because I can't listen to a fucking press conference because all I hear is the coach. I hear none of the fucking questions.
Yeah.
Which, it's so fucking annoying, you know. So it's like,
right.
It's like Jeopardy.
He
gives the answers and I have to guess what the question is. You know? It's like fucking Jeopardy.
I've got to ask you about the penis mightier.
Wait, what? Well, that's the pen is mightier.
Gussy it up however you want, Trebek. What matters is, does it work? Will it really mighty my penis, man?
It's not a product, Mr. Connery.
Because I've ordered devices like that before. Wasted a pretty penny. I don't mind telling you. And if the penis mightier really works, I'll order a dozen.
It's not a penis mightier, Mr. Connery. There's no such thing.
Wait. Are you selling penis mightiers?
No, I'm not.
Well, you're sitting on a gold mine, Trebek.
Right.
What's up, Hootat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and my drunk scale rating is a 0. And what a sobering game it was. So, but we'll be surprised if Jason has a number tonight, but we'll find out. But somebody needs to remind me why we're so excited and so anxious to get this season started. Because after waiting so patiently for so many weeks, and yes, we know it's just preseason, but after waiting so many weeks to see what product was rolled out on the field in Houston... has to make you at least a little bit nervous. And I know it's too early to tell, but... Alright, so we're going to talk about that. Saints-Texans games, a couple other things in this week's episode. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
Thank God I actually decided to have a number tonight. I wasn't planning on it, but I had some wine with some dinner, some leftover steak, and now I got a cocktail, so I'll go with a 2. I'm not going nuts. I'm just, you know, keeping it.
Yeah, it's a good show number.
Well, I figure, I mean, you two losers keep having zeros, so somebody's got to at least have something. Otherwise,
the whole premise of the show, why do we even ask for a number?
Exactly. Like, I'm sitting here at the bar by myself, apparently. Y'all are just waiting outside for valet.
That's right. I'll have a water and a club soda.
Yeah. I don't need two designated drivers. I just need one.
Ah, there you go. Well, anyway, Damon, welcome to the show. What's your number?
Thank you. 0.
Yeah. Gotta ask.
Man, I swear, one day if Damon would just get drunk on a show, maybe that would just be the kick in the pants.
I've been drunk on shows before.
But it's been a while.
And it'll be a while. All right, let's get into game recap. And so the Saints went into Houston and lost pretty bad. What was it, 9-? I don't remember.
The score wasn't that bad. We actually had it. It was 16-9.
Well, the final score,
I think it was 16-9. They had a chance to put a late drive together to tie the game or try to win it with Grayson at the end. But the score doesn't really matter. Preseason. I know they were preaching, I know score doesn't matter, but they need to win these preseason games. Because now that's like, what, 7 straight preseason games that the Saints have lost?
Yes, that is an interesting stat right there, isn't it? And we'll go on and on and say preseason doesn't matter, but I think, you know, like you said just a couple of weeks ago, Sean Payton was stressing that, you know, winning in preseason.
You made it for the momentum.
Right, does matter.
Right, the attitude that it kind of creates in the locker room.
No, and I believe that. Look, don't you remember one of the...
You play the game to win.
You play to win the game. No, that was Herm Edwards said that.
It was
sorry. I'm thinking Denny Green, yeah.
Yeah, he's...
You are who I thought you were, Jeff!
That's right. You are crown of crown.
But don't you remember, and I mean, look, we have to, this season will always be referenced, so go fuck yourself if you don't like it. But back in 2009, I remember thinking that we had it was going to be a special season when we beat the Patriots in preseason. Something like, we were up something like 34-0 at halftime. Don't y'all remember that game?
Can't say I do.
Really? You don't remember that game?
I don't remember a lot of the preseason.
Well, I mean, that is the only preseason game I remember ever. And
ever?
Yes. And
oh, come on, there has to be.
I'm telling you.
I remember
something about that because I remember thinking like, okay, we just beat New England.
No, the Raiders.
Or.
Although you did say New England.
Okay, oh, did I? Well, I'm
well,
sorry.
But it's okay. You always have the Patriots on the brain. That's
right, that's it. Right. But anyway, I'm sorry. Did I say the Patriots? No, I meant the Raiders.
Check okay. The
tape. No, he definitely said Raiders. I mean, God damn it.
So what did I say? Did I say the Raiders or the Patriots?
No, you definitely said the Patriots.
You said Patriots, but it...
Yeah, you did say New England.
Wrong coast.
The only preseason game I really, really remember was the Ravens game in 05, right as Katrina was bearing down on us.
Oh, you're right. I remember two games. Because I remember sitting there thinking, I might not ever be back here.
That was the last time I saw that brown tile on the floor in the dome. Because after that, it all got replaced.
Oh, goodness, yeah.
Good.
Yeah, in that game, we beat them 45-7. Again, I can remember that game. But my point being is, and we'll say this, and everybody says it every year, and it's only preseason. I don't think fucking Indianapolis won, you know, a handful of preseason games the entire time they had Peyton Manning, and they would rattled off like 12 years with 11 straight wins, you know.
Yeah, a bunch of good seasons, and also the Detroit Lions went 4-0 in the preseason, and then probably went 0-16 in the regular season back in 2008.
Right, you know.
Right, and all that to be said, but the issue, I think that, and we're a couple of days now after the game and the dust has settled, is it's more than just the score at the end at this point. The offensive line strikes fear into Saints fans' hearts, not other teams.
Yeah. That butthole clenches up just a little bit when you mention our offensive line.
I wish the line would clinch a little bit when I mention the offensive line. We saw the result of a bad line last year, and if you do look at the stats of the game, even though it's, you know, second string, third string, here or there, whatever, it looked a lot like last year's games. I mean, it was 75 sputter kind of rushing offense, 75 yards, give or take.
And a lot of that was from the backup quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah, Luke McCown did lead the team.
Yeah, yeah.
Rushing.
I mean, look, there were no holes to be had running-wise.
And he ran because fucking receivers couldn't get open.
Yeah, it wasn't, you know, watching, and I was over at in Gulf Shores watching the game and just watching it. It's like, man, just, it didn't look good. And I know, you know, after the draft when we didn't pick a guard, you know, a lot of people were kind of point doom and gloom at, oh, shit, it's going to be bad. And look, it didn't look good, and I'm not saying that they're not crap. But it doesn't help that we've been fucking moving around Pete everywhere, different spots. Training camp, when, look, he's going to be our right guard. He should have been playing right guard this entire fucking time in training camp. We should not have had him at left tackle or left guard, whatever.
You know, isn't tackle his natural position?
It is, which is
so don't,
tackle. Isn't
so don't natural. Tell me we shouldn't have him there. I mean...
Well, no, it's his natural position, but fuck, if their plan, which apparently this is their plan, is to play Streif at right tackle and play Pete at guard, that's where Pete should have been practicing the entire training camp, is at guard.
I understand what you're saying. I mean, you know, don't confuse him, but the good ones don't get confused. But he's a young man, only his second year in the league.
I mean, if you don't think he's going to beat out Streif at right tackle, if he ain't playing, because he ain't sure as hell
well,
ain't playing left tackle.
No, he's not.
You know, so it's either right tackle or right guard. And you got to make that decision early enough, especially if he is going to play guard, and he's played tackle his entire career. He needs to get the reps at guard, and he hasn't had that. On top of the fact that this line has not practiced a lot at all because Armstead's been out. I mean, he missed, the first 2 weeks of practice, 2 weeks of training camp?
And he was in there very limited.
Yeah, so that doesn't help either. So you have a lot of these factors, you know, that are that need to be factored into the fact that, well, yeah, they stink. Now, look, they may very well be a terrible offensive line.
So you need to factor these factors into factoring in the factors of the factors?
Look, I'm an accountant. That's what I do. I factor them. Okay?
As a matter of factor.
But, I mean, look, and all the reactions, oh, our line's terrible, and while that may be, but the coaching staff has not done many favors by playing Pete at different positions, and they haven't been able to play together because of Armstead being out. So it's not like the sky isn't
falling.
That's
the reality we face. What can we be expecting week one through four?
Looking at the preseason game, we can be expecting a lot of pressure on Breeze.
Khalil Mack may not survive games. The first 4 weeks.
Right. All right. He better want to get this contract signed soon.
Right. Get that guaranteed now because he might be dead.
Well, it's a good thing McCown can run.
Yeah. No, but yeah, that is our biggest glaring problem, in my opinion, the offensive line. And it affects everything, like we know, you know. If you can't open hole, the quarterback's going to be rushed, and so God help them. I hope they do something. We got so spoiled for so many years with Nicks and
Bushrod
Evans. No, the two guards.
Yeah, Jeff.
Sorry, Evans. I know. Jeff, we're just going to ignore you from now on and just go on with the show, okay?
Speaking of Carl Nicks, is he available? Is he ready to make a comeback?
No, he's been done. He's about to leave for 2-3 years.
That was a joke.
Right, but he just had a little MRSA.
Yeah, I'm sure that's cleared up by now.
Right. I mean, if he's in shape, he might be he'd be better than what we have.
Wait a second. What about Leary from Dallas?
Well, I think we'll get into that later.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, will we? Okay.
Yeah, there was a tweet about that.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, but what about Lelito? That's what I thought you were going to say.
He looked like a wet burrito.
Oh. And
sorry,
our newest Twitter follower.
Calamente.
Yeah, Calamente. Thanks for the
stick
follow.
Him in there. He'll be better than Lelito, right?
Well, he follows us, so yeah. I mean, you must be a listener. So, Calamente, you're my guy.
Well, I mean, I also think if they can get a couple weeks practicing with, Armstead in there every day, Pete practicing every day at right guard. I mean, Streif is what Streif is, but apparently he must have a naked picture of Peyton doing something, because otherwise I feel like he wouldn't still have his spot. But look, whatever five they need to go with, they need to practice together for the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, maybe that's what they're going to do.
I would hope so.
All right.
I mean, Peyton came out today and said, well, I think the plan now is to play Pete at right guard strictly for the rest of training camp. Like, he should have been done that the last 3 weeks, asshole.
Well, the other thing is we don't know what's going on. You know, we're not there. There's a reason they're doing what they're doing. We say, oh, they ought to be doing that, but for all we know, there's reasons for why they're not.
It doesn't sound like a good reason. Can you come up with a good reason?
I don't know what the good reason would be other than – but I do know that if they're doing it with their reasons for whatever they are, that's not a good reason. I mean, that's not a good thing. That's worse, because if they have to – you're right. You're sitting here. You're just a guy on a podcast, and you're saying they shouldn't be doing this. Of course they know that they shouldn't be doing it, right?
But they've been doing it.
So they must have to be doing it for some reason.
What's a bad reason?
It's a scary reason.
I mean, I get your logic, Jeff. I understand what you're saying.
Thank you. I know I'm not articulating.
Look, they know a lot more about football than I do, and all of the rest of us do.
Right.
I mean, they get paid to do that for
us. Right, and like, all the people who comment on the threads and who send the tweets in and all that, if they're doing what everybody in the football universe says they shouldn't be doing, they've got to have a good reason for doing it. And I'm not saying a positive reason.
You said a good reason. It may not be a good reason, but they have a reason.
Right. Yeah.
Just don't know if it's good or not.
Which means it's worse than them doing it is worse than them not doing it.
I mean, again, we don't. We'll have to wait. We'll have to wait till the season comes out to.
The good thing is we're still 0-0 this season.
Right. Look. You know, the turnovers are ugly, but that can be cleaned up. back to
Marcus Mervez.
Well, that's right, and that's
about him because
that's where I was going with this. Marcus Murphy has definitely, you know, he's. I'm surprised if he's still on the team when the first cuts after this game, you know, the next preseason game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but I think he'll make it to the final cuts, but he ain't gonna make it.
Look, Sean Payton's his press conference after the game. He addressed the situation saying, he put the, you know, if your returner puts the ball on the ground, then you get a new returner. And that's what we did. You know?
Yeah. Well, he's right. At this point, he's put the ball on the ground and half the times he touched it.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause he had problems last year. We all remember.
Yeah. And so, the upside is no longer the potential upside. Because he's
right.
Good returner.
He totally. Right. I mean, his fumble this week totally.
But I could get a guy driving a beer truck come in here and do what he's been doing.
Uh-huh.
It totally changed the direction of the game. We forced a 3-and-out on the first year, and you're thinking, man, our defense is
right.
It's great. We're ready to go, and just
right.
Just like that, that whole goodwill momentum just gone.
Right.
Yeah. Like I said, he had the problems last year. Hadn't really shown much.
Both games, you know, now in the preseason, he's
right
on the ground.
God bless him. I don't think. I mean, he was on the team. He was on the active roster all year last year, correct?
Yeah.
I don't think you can put him on
practice
squad. Yeah.
Even though he's still young enough.
I thought practice squad was just
they have to be in the, like first 3 years.
Well, I mean, well, again, I don't know. Maybe give him more seasoning. I mean,
that comment brought to you by Tony's Ashries.
I mean, if his fumbling can be corrected, you keep him around on the practice squad.
Right.
But, I mean, if somebody may try to claim him, I mean, I don't know.
I'm just saying, like, we got enough guys. There's guys like, and I'm sorry to say, guys like him, we can pick one up. We can get one. You can discover one. You can find one.
I mean, like, we drafted Lasko this year. I mean, he's, you know, let him be your backup running back. Turner, whatever, or Tommy Lee Lewis.
Tommy Lee Lewis is going to make the team. That's, I think, Murphy's out. Tommy Lee Lewis is in.
Yeah.
All right. Who else are you going to talk
about?
You know what
is crazy? The fact that all of our talk has been on, man, we're so worried about the offense.
Right.
The fact that we haven't worried about the defense. We haven't said anything bad about.
No, they've actually played.
Our defense sucks.
They've actually played.
Right.
Better.
Yes. We finally fixed the defense.
Was it 3 sacks?
Whatever it was. But we held them. They were like, you know, we held them to a good third down percentage. They stopped them when they had to. The defense has definitely shown improvement. I mean, P.J. Williams got burned for the one touchdown, but then he comes back and gets the interception in the end zone. And that's kind of going to be the learning curve you have with him since this is really like his rookie. I mean, this is his first real snaps, but the defense really looks improved.
Actually, yeah, 4 sacks.
Yeah, I mean, fairly, you know, played well, looking good.
All right, what about the game, Else? What else about the game do you want to bring up? So you did bring up the defense. Von Bell has gotten a lot of hype this week because of his play, 7 tackles and a sack.
Look, kid's going to be a solid player. I mean, it's kind of what. I don't think he's going to overtake Bird unless Bird gets hurt, which will probably happen in by week 7 or 8.
Right.
Until then,
well, we still have 2 games to go in the preseason, don't we?
Right. When they decide to cut Bird and add more dead money to our cap, then Bell will step right in.
Yeah. So is this another week that Cooks didn't play?
Yeah, Cooks and Snead didn't play both of them.
Cooks just
and even and then one of the interceptions that we had breezed through. To Michael Thomas, I mean, he got. Just,
oh, that was. Don't.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
it was,
that's
it was,
silly.
It was
don't.
Blatant. It was blatant pass interference.
Right. So, which again, anybody who watched the game knows what I'm about. Heard what I'm about to say. All right, they had given us that ticky tack. The referee threw a flag against the Texans for illegal touching.
Oh yeah.
And the cornerback, I mean, you know, didn't do anything. Barely touched the receiver. Definitely didn't push him off the, you know, his router or anything. And then they come back the next play, and the linebacker tackles the receiver.
Right, literally tackles him.
Right, and so Breeze, that's where that interception came from. You know, Breeze would throw into the correct place.
Yeah, and he was tackled, and then, like, you know, the initial reaction on social media was, blah, 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 we're terrible, blah, 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 terrible, terrible. And then when you go back and have time to look at it, you're like, yeah, it was, he got fucking held. It should have been a penalty, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, turnovers aren't good, but on that play, it's forgivable because he was just mauled by the defender.
Right, right.
There should have been a flag called.
No one on the Saints' fault, right? So I'm not, like, you know, you said it, or Jeff said it. All this worrying about the offense, we need to calm down with. Because even last year, we were still, what, sixth in the league? You know?
I mean, there is some concern to be had on the offensive
line. With the offensive
line,
sure.
Right.
Right.
But Ingram is your guy, and he only ran seven times. Cook
didn't play.
Snead didn't play. I mean, our offense isn't even on the field.
Right.
All right?
Well, the line was, and they didn't look good.
Well, once they played together for longer than 5 days in a row, then don't
well, I mean,
be better.
And also, too, you had Coleman with that long pass up the middle, which he caught, and then the ball got knocked out. Like, if that's Cooks or Snead or somebody who will actually hold on to the ball, and he catches it, goes down. I mean, again, you know, the Murphy fumble, the Coleman play, I mean, those are two huge plays that completely turn the tide of the game right now.
Right. And, well, look, the Breeze, you know, the Breeze interception that they shouldn't have been.
Yeah, the hold. I mean,
yeah, the turnover kind of.
Yeah.
Turnover thing is starting to get a little old for me. This is from last year bleeding over.
Right. The game was ugly, but, you know, I think we have.
We were in
the
it.
Game
the
was
whole
ugly.
Week.
Right.
Right.
The game was ugly. I mean, I'm not screaming Super Bowl and buying my tickets to wherever it is this year because I'm not sure yet. But, but if not. You know, and even though during the game, you know, we had texted one another about going 3-13 and all that, you know, a day and a half later or whatever, you know, I'm kind of
when your emotions calm down,
right,
and you can rationally think about things and kind of see how
that's when you get a divorce.
Plays happened.
Yep.
Hey, what did you say?
When you calm down, you can play nothing into it. That's when you get a divorce.
Right.
Yep.
You know. But right, so I mean the game, we were ugly. There's a lot of stuff to work, you know, to be corrected. But that's
kind of what preseason is for.
Not really. It's more to bulk me out, you know, to fuck me out of money for shitty games. That's my opinion. But
kind of right now, I'm kind of glad these games are.
No, exactly. But right. But that is what. But Jason, I think you are correct. This is the time to do it. This is the time to get them corrected. And so, I don't really have much more to say about the game. I mean, you know, it's,
yeah.
Let's just hope they look a little better next week.
That's right.
It'll be nice to have these guys back home, considering they've been on the road for three or four
weeks.
That's
another thing.
It'd be nice to have everybody home.
I did wonder how much of wasn't there some heat issues this week?
Well, yeah.
And
the season
how much
was
of
almost
that?
Over when. When with three guys left in that practice, and you're like, holy shit, if this is serious, like, we're done.
Well, I bring that up because maybe that contributes to the lethargic play that we saw Saturday night.
I don't know. Look, Green Bay plays, you know, I assume they do their practices in Wisconsin, which is nice.
Oh, yeah, and even like New York, all those northern teams, New York,
right.
Even Seattle, it's probably cool up there. I don't think it's the...
Yeah, I don't think they're soft because they're practicing at the green.
No, but I do think the travel.
That's
maybe,
not what I'm not.
Maybe,
I'm not trying to draw that conclusion. What I'm saying is, literally, if you practice in that kind of heat all week, you're gonna be more tired on Saturday. Like, it takes a couple days to recover.
No, right. I think it's maybe the travel, maybe got to them a little
combination
bit.
Of both. Then I'll give you travel if you give me heat.
Well, I don't.
Heat exhaustion. I'm tired.
No. I think the travel just wore him down on these dudes. Hadn't been home in three.
He will not. He will not give you.
Nope. I'm not giving you.
Giving
I'm
you
not giving
you
travel then. Okay. Fine. Fine. Whatever.
They look like they were hot to me.
They look like they've been fucking.
They didn't have a.
It's warm out here. They need a cool, refreshing.
That's right.
Cup of H2O.
That's what I was gonna say. They needed Bobby Boucher. All right.
You're going to have to find a clip for him.
Live or die, another day. Live or die, another day. All right, let's move into headlines.
Hello, I'm Kent Brockman, and this is Eye on Springfield.
our headlines are injury riddled.
Yeah.
First, it seems like that's another contribution to maybe why we're in the state we are in, because even before preseason started, how many players did we lose? We lost Kikaha, we lost
Sanford, and we lost somebody else.
Right, and then now Sheldon Rankins is out with a broken leg.
Yeah, broken fibula. just sucks, man, because he looked so good in that game.
But, really did. Hate not to have him, hate him missing very crucial time, you know, either young, either rookie, but a broken leg is the best thing that can happen to you.
Right, I mean, it's better than a torn ACL.
Right,
a torn anything.
Right, a torn anything, right. Tendons, when they pop, they pop. Broken leg, boop, it will never break in the same place again. I mean,
some bitch back together. Right.
Right. So I don't know what that happened. We were recording on Monday. It happened, roughly just about a week ago, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that
happened almost right after we published, it felt like.
Yeah. All
right.
Yeah, it did.
So what they saying, 6 to 8 weeks? Or 4 to 6 weeks?
That's one week down, guys.
Well, I mean, they say 4 to 6.
4 to 6.
I mean, I think at the earliest it would be at, like, the week after the bye week, which would be week six. The good thing is that it happened now and not in week like 4 of the regular season.
Right, he misses the bulk of the season.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the season's done.
Right
now, he probably won't. I mean,
a broken leg is usually like, if they say 4 to 6 weeks, it's 4 to 6 weeks. It's not like a tear, like Damon was saying. It's not like a tear where you don't know when they're going to come back. Your leg's going to heal. Your leg's going to heal.
But I mean, with our training and medical staff, we got to make sure it heals correctly.
That's just true.
Just saying, there's not a lot of good history.
Well, I mean, again,
we lost half our team before the season even started.
Right. Consider the medical and training staff in the building on Airline Drive, from what we know. You know.
Yeah, he's going on life support next week.
So, he probably won't be his normal self really until next season, but at least if he can come back in week, you know, 6, 7, and give us something here and there. It's better than he tears an ACL or pops an Achilles and he's done for the season and we totally lose our first round pick.
All right, so speaking of guys not coming back, Keenan Lewis was released.
West Bank!
God, Jeff, you were on the West Bank at a time.
I did live on the West Bank for a time. I never saw Keenan Lewis there.
You probably didn't run the same circles. If I had to guess.
No. He's a little bit younger than me.
A little bit. No, because that's the reason.
And he's a good football player.
Yeah, well, or was.
Oh. So, what do you think? I mean, sad or relieved?
I mean, it's...
How do you feel?
It's disappointing to see it come to this because he was... That 13 year, he was so good.
Right.
I mean, he was such a shutdown corner, and he was a local guy, and he loved... Like he loved playing. He loved being a Saint. Like, he had all the off the field camps and stuff he would do. He loved being a Saint, and he was just so good that one year. But
hometown,
man, and look, I've mentioned it the last few weeks. Like, hip injuries are just so rough to come back from. And I don't think he'll ever be the same.
But he's convinced because in his comments.
Well, because every player is going to say that, though.
Yeah, you're right.
Every player is going to say, you know, I'll be fine. I'm coming back. And look, some team will sign him for sure.
Atlanta.
If he can pass a physical.
Right. I mean, what they get from him, I don't know. But considering the
I give you know, two looks across the face.
Because I like you.
Because I like you.
How's that?
But I mean, considering it's just the timing was just so weird considering the cap hit, it really had to be bad for them to say we'll take this hit. Just dump it.
Well, it's the first cut. I don't know. I mean, the cap hit will be spread over 2 years.
I think a majority of the cap hit is this year, and remember like 2 years ago he complained and Loomis guaranteed a bunch of his deal even though we didn't have to. We did it.
Yeah, there you go, stupid.
But apparently it's not as bad as we think it is. There will be some dead money next year, but a lot of it is...
If I was a New Orleans Saint, at this point, I would be scared to sign a big contract with the Saints because it seems like everybody who gets it... Well, no, that's not injury-ridden. Okay.
I was about to say, it seems like everybody who signs a big contract. Actually, I'd want a big contract with the Saints. Because
right, you get paid.
You get paid?
Years, I get paid for not playing football.
You get paid to go away. This is another line in a long list of...
Another line in a long list?
Another...
Or a list of a long line.
Something like that. What did I say?
He said, well, don't factor the factors into the factor, then you have a line, a long list.
Right, right. That's what it's all about, list. And lines.
Quit down.
Right. But just so now, our dead money this year is up to 30.
Holy mackerel!
Yeah, well, you know, Loomis looked at the right. He looked at the dead money projection for next year. He's like, whoa, 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 that is too low.
If I have all that money to spend, it will be like cheating. Let's give some back.
Right, it would be like cheating. Anybody could win with no dead space. We want to impress people.
We all hate to see him leave, but I think a lot of the decision, too, was the fact that we have all these young cornerbacks that appear to be playing pretty well. You got Crawley, Harris. I mean, I think both of them make the team.
Did Crawley get picked on all?
Sure, no.
Does it seem like every pass was in his direction?
Well, no. Actually, he should have had the pick six in the game.
Yeah, he did. He had that in his hand.
He made the jump on the ball, made a good play, just couldn't come down with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he should have made the pick six. P.J. Williams.
Yeah.
I mean, look, P.J. Williams is going to be the number two now. I think we can all agree on that. They're letting him take his lumps. He had the pick this week, and he's our number two.
Yeah.
And then you got Swan, Crawley, Devontae Harris. That kind of...
That's your cornerback, folks.
Yeah. I mean, those guys coming in helped to make the Lewis cut.
Well, it feels so ragtag, don't it?
No, I mean, they're just young, and we don't know them. But I like what P.J. Williams has done so far this year. Obviously, Dub and Bro have stepped it up and shown that he's a starting corner in the league. And there's just nobody to... who's the veteran guy we brought in?
Cortland Finnegan.
Finnegan. So that
Finnegan
might be your number, maybe your number two.
No. If he's our number two, we're doomed.
Really, he's too old. He's done.
He's too old. Yeah, he's too old.
Just remember, folks, no matter who they are, at least it's not Corey White and Patrick Robinson.
Right. Oh yes. Well, you know what? I saw this. SBJ is on the market, so we could bring him.
Oh.
SJB.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever the fucking name is. He's unforgettable.
He had BJ on the brain.
Right.
Something, when the release happened Friday, and all the speculation was, oh, there must be some kind of friction. There must be friction. He was bad in the locker room.
Yeah, there's friction between his hip bones rubbing against each other.
Right. He had this bullshit attitude. And like, dude, hip injury is fucking serious business. He is done, and yet all fucking Christian Garlic would talk about, or whoever else would talk about, was, oh, there's got to be something going on behind the scenes, friction, he's a bad apple, he's like Junior Glad, he's like this, that. I don't believe that to be the case.
I agree with you. I think it came down to, we gave you as much time as we could possibly give somebody, but we need the spot on the roster for somebody who's going to actually make it on the field. We
need somebody to play. I think that's...
That's what I look at as.
I think that's it. Mm. Now, it sucked. He carried a high fucking contract, and now we got more dead money, but... You know, that's another Loomis fucking mistake.
Either way, you're paying him.
Well, no.
That's not a Loomis mistake. You can't,
right. I mean, the injury. He didn't hurt. We didn't pay him after he got hurt, did we? I mean,
no, but we guaranteed a bunch of this money when. He didn't have any leverage.
He gets hurt.
He didn't have any leverage. We cut
Jimmy
off
Jimmy Graham and Junior Gallette.
And then he was mad, and
we just didn't get hurt. Those guys.
Right. We gave him another contract, and then. Well, the reason I bring this up is because I'm going to quote at Reed on Twitter mentioned, you know, we post Bounty Gate, Loomis has showered all these fucking idiots with money, and we're playing hardball with the Hall of Fame quarterback. Like, that doesn't make sense. We give Jimmy Graham money, give Junior Gallette money, we give Keenan Lewis money, and we say, fuck you, Drew. I mean, we did give Drew money at some point. But since then, we've just been...
Sounds like the Drew Brees, woe is me, Cam, is back like, in action. He's a victim, folks.
We're blowing a Hall of Fame quarterback, and we're giving money to all these fucking idiots.
We don't know if we're playing hardball yet. We don't know what Drew Brees is asking for. We don't know anything.
It just shouldn't... I don't know. It just seems like... Like, why?
Well, we know the Saints really could be telling Drew Brees' camp, guys, we are not interested in talking until after the season. Because maybe the Saints understand that their offensive line is more tender than a damn wet pillow. That, and they maybe, don't want to pay Drew Brees a bunch of money, so he's going to get hurt in the middle of the season.
Let's say maybe Mickey's a genius because he doesn't pay him this year, and our offensive line sucks, and he has a down year, so right. we can pay him less.
Look. Well, I mean, we talk about it every week. I don't mean no need to talk about his contract. Again, the biggest detraction from that is Brees' age, not his talent level.
Now apparently it's our offensive line. Can he stay healthy?
Right. Well, that he needs to get quick.
It is.
He needs to get quick.
Okay, we're gonna move into look at him tweets. Got a couple of tweets to read here. First one comes from Neil, and he says, which team seems to be the most overhyped by the media so far? And Neil picked a team, but let's see if either one of you picks the same team.
Dallas.
I saw his team, and I'm going to also agree with Damon. It's Dallas because of Dak Prescott. Mm-hmm. Right. Because initially they're like, oh, Dallas doesn't have a backup quarterback, and then two games in, Dak Prescott, Jerry Jones is a genius. No. He's a genius for not signing Johnny Manziel and going with Dak Prescott.
All right, well, and Neil says the Rams, which, I mean, they're on Hard Knocks, so.
Well, they're on Hard Knocks. I mean,
Hard Knocks have been pretty boring this year.
Oh, you think so? I enjoyed the two episodes.
I watched it, but it's, I mean, maybe it's just the, in general, like, Hard Knocks has kind of run its course. I mean, it's kind of the same thing.
That's what I was going to say. I think I lost interest in Hard Knocks 2 years ago.
Really? I kind of felt so did I, but this year I really have been enjoying it. Again, it's only been two episodes, but...
I did enjoy the clip they showed when Fisher had his first assistant job with the Rams back in, like, 91, and they showed the hitting that happens, you know, in training camp back then, and just so different nowadays. That was kind of interesting to see.
I haven't looked it up. I could have swore back then the Raiders played in the Coliseum, and the Rams played in Anaheim.
No, I think they both played in it. There's no stadium in Anaheim. There's no football stadium. I mean, I don't think they played in the old baseball stadium. I think they both played in the Coliseum.
Who was in Anaheim? I remember Anaheim.
Nobody. No.
Somebody was in Anaheim. The Rams were in Anaheim.
It was baseball.
The Angels.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's baseball. Different sport.
Yeah.
No, the Rams and Raiders both played at the Coliseum.
Well, all right. Next one comes from Fuck the Falcons, and this tweet is, go get Leary.
Is that a new catchphrase? I'm going to go get Leary!
That's a new level of drunk.
Ooh, I like that. It's not a bad idea.
No, I mean, better than what we have.
Right. I mean, what would you give up to get him? Now we've already given up a draft pick to move up and get Omanyada, so we're already down one draft pick next year. So do you give up?
Well, isn't that the whole right? What does Dallas want for him?
Well, and also, like, would Dallas even can we just give him John Jenkins and a conditional pick? Because I would do that. Do they need defensive line help? And that's the thing. Like, if Dallas ain't willing to deal him. Or if they're going to play hardball, I mean, what is that worth to us? I mean, what is the maximum that you would pay to get a guard where you would think he'd be, you would just plug him in at left guard, and Willie Gay and Kelamente are now the two backups?
Oh, that'd be nice.
I don't know, is Leary even...
How many years has he been playing?
Oh, not that long. Four years.
Yeah, I know he's in the last year of his deal at like 2-something million.
And he would like a...
But he lost his job. He
lost his job to Lyle Collins.
Right.
But I mean, like, is he even any good?
Well, that's the thing. Look,
he's
not...
He lost his job to Lyle Collins.
Right. Look, he's not Carl Nix or Jari Evans. I mean, but he is better than what we have on the team right now. He would be an upgrade, in my opinion.
Well, that's the thing, right? Would you trade for him?
I don't know, that's
what you guys were saying. Right. Like, where do you value him?
I mean, I don't think you pay.
Would, Saints maybe even overpay because of the Saints situation. Maybe, and Dallas knows the Saints situation.
I think a three would be overpaying.
Yes. Yes, I agree with you there.
Well, for
would
a,
I do
a
it?
Backup guard, yeah.
Would I do it, though? Maybe.
I mean,
maybe.
Maybe. Now, he's going to the last year of his deal, so if you keep him around, I mean, if you trade a three for him, more than likely, and he's decent, you're going to want to keep him around more than just the year, so you'll have to give him a contract.
Oh, well, God, yeah. Right. If you trade a three for him, you want to keep him around more. Right. It's a,
yeah.
I know NFL doesn't do it, but, yeah, it had to be like a sign-and-trade, you know.
Now, it's interesting. He is from Baton Rouge. So he is kind of local.
Right.
Now, I mean, I would, you know, if we could trade John Jenkins and a sixth-round pick, I would do it in a heartbeat.
If Leary comes in, if he came in and started, that's more than you could ask a third-round draft pick to do in their first year, right?
I mean, yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah. But was it Carl Nix a third-round draft pick?
Carl Nix was a fifth-round draft pick.
Yeah,
but he had anger issues. That's why he dropped to the fifth round.
Those kind of things don't.
But if he were to come in and play well, we would re-sign him and keep him around.
Yeah.
I mean,
right. But anyway, just in case, now we'll have to keep this in because I knew I was correct. The Rams did play in Anaheim from 1980 to 1994. I know y'all treat history like anything. How you, go fuck yourself. The Raiders.
Sorry, Damon, I'm younger than you.
Yeah, about 3 years, but you're a lot stupider. At one point, in 1982, the Rams, the Raiders moved into the L.A. Coliseum. So maybe the Rams must have played in the Coliseum before 1980.
Wow, so they were the Raiders' bitch, the Rams were.
Why did that? Why? I don't. Why?
Because they couldn't even play in the Coliseum. They had
but they left. They left for the Rams were in the Coliseum. They bitched and moaned like all organizations do that it was old and shitty and we need something new and stomped their feet.
Where the hell did they play in Anaheim? Like the old baseball stadium? There's no football stadium in Anaheim, right?
Right, unless they tore it down. I mean, I remember. Hold on, I mean. They played at Angel Stadium.
Wow. Okay. Right.
It was known as Anaheim. Right. It was known as Anaheim Stadium from 1964 to 1997. So yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Who
okay.
San Francisco? The
played at Candlestick.
Right,
Candlestick. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of back in the day. A lot of
San Diego played in a. Didn't San Diego play in a baseball field?
San Diego, I think. Yeah,
they still
do.
Stadium.
Yeah. Okay, there you go.
Yeah, the Padres used to play there, and then the Padres built a new stadium.
Right. That was the whole thing. I mean, don't you all remember seeing even the Superdome? They had the Superdome had a baseball configuration.
Oh yeah, when they had the what did they call the whatever they had the college classic.
Yeah, I used to hate going and watching football games on baseball field because I hated that dirt in the middle of the field.
Right. So did I. But again, the dome, I mean, that was in the 70s and whatever that was the thing.
Yeah, multi-purpose stadium.
Right, which still makes more sense, for all the money they're spending. Luckily, we don't have a baseball team to...
So anyway, back to the task at hand. Yes, I would trade for Ronald Leary.
All right. So
yeah, and again, I would even trade, knowing that I'm overpaying, I'd even trade a three to get the deal done.
Okay. As you're looking in tweets, we're going to move into NFL Reach Around. Where we have one topic, Damon wants to talk about the NFL and the Al Jazeera situation.
Right. I guess it's over now, but
well, they still have to give they still have to go interview.
Well, but hold on. But this, when I say it's over, it's because the NFL were threatening three players with indefinite suspension. It was Harrison,
Julius Peppers,
Sure.
What's Clay Matthews and then another guy who's a free agent, Mike
Neal.
Right. You
know.
For them.
Right. The NFL Bruce wanted them to come in.
And Clay Matthews, yeah.
Right. The NFL wanted them to come in and, I guess, be interrogated. That's maybe a... And talk about the Al Jazeera report where last year, you know, where they alleged Peyton Manning took some...
PEDs. Well, right. And not only that, it's crazy. This was some random dude, this Al Jazeera network, came up with this statement, and then he even recanted the statement and said he fucking lied, and the NFL said that wasn't good enough.
Right. But, you know, he didn't know he was being recorded. And then... For some reason, right, he did come out and say that he was not being truthful.
Right, I mean, this isn't a fucking reporter.
Right, but I don't, you know, but look, I mean, am I okay?
But real,
I guess I don't blame the NFL for wanting to at least talk to the guys about it. I don't know. Well, what do you call? Come talk to me. Tell me you didn't do anything, and we'll move on with all.
Right, they did. These guys. These guys did signed affidavits.
No, right. Yeah, but that was the NFL.
Signed affidavits.
That's the NFL PA trying to be big balls. Oh, well, we don't have to come talk to you. Go fuck yourself.
That's also Roger Goodell being a dickhead. Like
it's both of them. It's both of them being dicks.
Like relying on a fucking Mike Ornstein email to kill us in Bountygate.
Right.
It's all the same fucking NFL. It's another reason why Roger Goodell was a fucking piece of shit.
Yeah.
Who deserves to be fucked by a bat with razor blades.
But I don't know. I mean,
did y'all read the letter? Now that NFLPA's letter.
The first affidavit or the second letter.
It's letter to Adolfo Birch, Senior VP of Labor Policy for the NFL.
No, read it if you.
Pretty much, they're. I'm not going to read the whole letter, but pretty much they were. They said your most recent letter, that's the PA talking to the NFL,
right.
Distributed to the media before providing it to Mr. Harrison and the NFLPA, confirmed our understanding that rather than act with the integrity, respect, and thoughtful diligence that an employer such as the NFL should, the league has instead decided to ignore its collectively bargained agreement and try to bully and publicly shame a veteran player employee who has repeatedly asked a simple, eminently reasonable question about his employer's investigation. Is the NFL aware of any credible evidence other than the recanted remarks by one individual shown by Al Jazeera that indicates that there is any validity to the remarks about Mr. Harrison?
This sounds very similar to a lot of the other bullshit.
Right.
NFL.
Well, definitely.
Sounds like Bountygate to me.
It pissed me off that we were the first one to take it up the ass. And, man, that media loved jumping all over. That was a hot story, you know. That was something they ran with for fucking months.
Well, they learned their lesson with us.
No, they didn't learn it. They didn't give a fuck about us.
Right, they didn't give a fuck. They just got fucking
fuck.
Bored.
That's what I mean. They learned their lesson after us. Let me
and then deflategate, and then it's long enough, and then it's a fight. And then they just get they get bored and move on, even though it's
no,
it's
no,
right
no. But my point being, Jason, I think now the media does look at the NFL with a more critical eye than they did. With look, NFL had, I mean, no one wants to hear this shit, but I'll say it anyway. NFL had no fucking credible evidence against, you know, the Saints and Bountygate, but the media just took everything they said like it was fact, like it was gospel, never questioning anything. Media sucks.
It's that that lynch mob mentality.
My friend, stop! Sure. We could tear this house down. No! My friend, stop! Let me finish. We could tear it down, but we'd be tearing down a part of ourselves.
But no, I mean, like, you're completely right. And then, as it's going on with Deflategate and Ray Rice, I mean, the media is becoming a little more aware of not totally falling hook, line, and sinker. The problem is all these dudes' paychecks are determined by the NFL. They're not going to completely go against Goodell, even though they probably know that Goodell's a fucking asshole. It's getting better. At least they're bringing up certain topics, but unfortunately it's not going to change anything. And not until the next CBA, Goodell is still going to be a fucking asshole and these owners
okay. I mean, if you want to get into that aspect of it, the NFL, look, I would listen to Mike and Mike sometime this week. And they had Smith on, the head of the NFLPA. And for that aspect, look, I don't – discipline, I don't think the NFLPA should have anything to do or be involved at all with discipline. Not at all. You know, you can't let the lunatics run the asylum. Is Goodell an asshole? 100%. I mean, you know, I'm the one who coined the phrase, you know, bat full of razor blades up his ass, okay? But the NFLPA should have nothing to do with discipline or anything like that. If, you know, if they want it to be a several owners, you know, a committee of owners or something like that, that's fine. But the NFL, you know, and not just be Roger Goodell.
Well, no, yeah, that's I don't think the PA. I mean, the league still has to.
The
league has to be responsible for the discipline. The problem is discipline has to be uniform. The problem is it's all over the place.
Let me ask you this question: is this? I mean, this seems like an annual, almost now more than once a year thing.
Annual,
thing ever since Roger Goodell came into office, or at least since Bountygate.
No, it's been since Goodell's been in office.
Right. Okay. So, is this a Goodell thing, or was this stuff always going like this? You always had this kind of legal dispute between players and the organization. It's just now being played out in the media because there's just more media and social media exposure to things. Or did Paul Tagliabue do a better job of it? But it was still always happened.
It never played out in the media because Paul Tagliabue didn't. Paul Tagliabue wasn't petty and wasn't like completely over the top like this asshole Goodell is. He let the system play out. He let each side say their piece, and
but,
he made it
right.
Reasonable
but Goodell
decision.
Is put. And I'm not trying to defend him by any means, but. Different time. Well, I'm trying to look at reality.
But it wasn't that different, Goodell. I mean,
it was that different. You didn't have the NFL.
Tagliabue was still commissioner in 05 or 06.
You didn't
it's
have.
Not that long
2005.
Ago.
I mean, dude, that's a decade. That's a long time.
Right, but it's not that. It's long ago, but it's not that long ago. It's not like it's the fucking 80s.
Wait, shut up. Let me say something. Facebook wasn't even a big thing in 2005. I don't even think it's a public as much as it is. I mean, I'm talking social media, 24-hour news wasn't.
Right. There was no Twitter. There was no Facebook. Right.
Yeah, you didn't have that pressure for instant reaction.
Well,
like
I think
the media wants something instant.
Right,
it's easier to sweep things under the rug.
Well, it wasn't in your face 24/7 like it is now. You know, like the Ray Rice thing, like you said. You know, if this would have been 10 years ago, we would have all seen the Ray Rice tape because we watch sports. But you know. The 3 out of 10 people who do not watch sports would have never seen the Ray Rice tape because they wouldn't be watching ESPN, and then they definitely would have never heard from them because they can't go to fucking Twitter and become a fucking Twitter hero champion. So right. Jeff, you are correct there that the media, you know, again from people who don't even watch the sport but they just want to be because they're offended. I'm offended. Go fuck yourself. And also, you're correct. No. Roger Goodell came in. You're right. There was a. Don't y'all remember the early aughts, the late 90s? You know, all these players were getting in trouble for, you know, Michael Irvin in Dallas with, with a cokehead and DWIs. And when Goodell came in, that was, I feel like kind of his crusade. He was going to bring, he was going to bring justice to the league again, right? Clean it up. Clean up the wild, wild west.
And, fine, and the difference might in the so the media makes that a reality. Where I think he's messing up is he doesn't have to. He's kind of falling into the trap of having we gotta come up with a swift, instant, reaction.
Except for the Ray Rice thing.
Well, he's right. He's reactionary. That's his problem. He's
right.
Stupid. He's
right.
Reactionary. Leaders like that, the who's leading the league or successful businessmen like that, they're not reactionary.
Right.
They are, forward thinkers. They're ahead of the curve. Goodell so far fucking behind, it's laughable.
Right, and rather than just stick to, hey, you know what, guys? Y'all just going to have to wait. Or y'all, we're going to wait and get this right. I'd rather be – he's fallen into that. It's got to be – you got to give – and it's kind of a balance. I know what you're saying too, Jason, because they do – stay pretty tight-lipped about things. But they'd stay tight-lipped about at the wrong times and the wrong things. And
Right, no. He does everything exactly the opposite you should.
Yes.
He lived in Bizarro world.
It's just so weird.
Tight-lipped
so
when
much...
he needs to be loose-lipped, and he's loose-lipped when he needs to be tight-lipped.
There's just so much animosity between the league and the players, and you don't see this in any of the other sports leagues.
And it'll
only the NFL.
Yeah, that's
well, like, yeah, but this is a Roger Goodell thing. It wasn't a wasn't a Pete Rozelle and a,
right.
wasn't a Paul Tagliabue.
Right.
This is a Roger Goodell thing.
To Damon's point, he came in with a crusade against the players.
Right.
All right.
I really hate that man. I really wish I could just punch him in the face right now.
All right. Well, we're going to move in.
You know.
Anything else?
The whole thing that he is judge, jury, executioner, and appeals lawyer, you know, appeals judge, is bullshit. The appeals need to be definitely taken away from him. Look at us. Look at Bounty Gate. Every appeal that Paul Tagliabue had come in front of him, he overturned.
All right, one quick.
Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
Arthur Blank donated $100,000 to Team Gleason. No white flags. How about you fuck the Falcons now?
Well, good for him to donate that, but still fuck the Falcons.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
You know, when he the way that at least I found out about it is Steve Gleason tweeted it, you know.
Yeah.
It's, you know, and I think this is Blank's, quoting Arthur Blank, he said, you know, some things are bigger than rivalries and all that. You know, life is greater than any rivalry, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Or maybe Gleason tweeted that first. I don't know.
Yeah, I think Gleason.
You know, but it's pretty. It is pretty cool. I mean, it shows you that
even Snidely Whiplash or Count Chocula can never hurt.
Right. I mean, so that's nice to take it for. You know, for
like
Team Gleason. Right.
Yeah, I'd like to see other owners be like, well, you know, if he could do it for the same.
Right. Well, I think someone with I think there's something with ALS that affects Blank, like maybe a friend or something.
Oh, it's got a personal connection.
Or a son or something. I mean, I don't know. People don't quote me. I'm brainstorming. You know, but
he might have a connection to the connection to the cause. Yeah.
Right. You know, but here's something, you know, that I thought that kind of pissed me off. All right, if life is bigger than robberies, then why don't you go ahead and let them put the Falcon logo on the statue of Steve Gleason in front of the dome?
Yeah, they didn't want that.
Right. And I don't even know why we needed their permission.
It's their logo. I don't know.
But we're not making money off.
It's an NFL.
Right.
It's historical
accuracy.
Kind of
like property, right?
Right.
Sure.
Right. Yeah. And you're right, Jason. I thought all the logos belonged to the NFL.
Yeah, right. It's the logo of the NFL.
That's what the NFL tried to do whenever they were trying to take the hoot out even away from the Saints. Remember that? It was 2005.
Yeah, NFL thing. Yep.
But speaking of Gleason, and I'm sure most Saints fans know this, the Gleason movie is out. I'm not sure. It's been out a couple of, you know, at least what?
A couple of weeks.
I don't know the name of it. Did y'all
Gleason.
Gleason.
Just Gleason. Very simple.
Just Gleason.
Not even Gleason movie, just Gleason.
Gleason.
So I know it's playing in theaters around the New Orleans area.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
Up here in Alexandria.
Oh, all the way in Dallas, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
All
major NFL cities.
All right. You know, but anyway, so if you're a fan, I've been seeing good reviews of it. It's rated R. Apparently, because Gleason and his wife are foul mouth.
Oh, come on, guys.
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, you know,
he's a football player,
right? But anyway, if you go out and see the movie, I don't think Gleason gets any money from you seeing it. But it's a interesting story from definitely a Saints. Legend, you know, or I don't know, legend, you know, but whatever.
Yeah, well, he's whatever, historically relevant.
Right, one of our own, right.
Yeah, look, right. I definitely feel bad that I haven't seen it yet, and I really need to.
You feel bad?
Make time. Yes, I definitely.
You're obligated to watch it?
Yes, I definitely should have seen it by now, and I haven't, and I feel bad that I haven't.
Okay.
That's why he's still in the wheelchair because of you, Jason. You suck.
All right, and then we'll do a real quick, because we're kind of over on time here, but we'll do a real quick collective final thought between all of us, is the flooding in South Louisiana. You guys have any stories related to that? Have any thoughts you want to mention about it?
Well, my you know, my parents have the place up in Tickfall, and luckily he, after flooding a couple times after Katrina, he finally said, fuck this, knocked it down, built it up. So the water did come over the dock, but no water got into the house. He still had like a foot or two.
Oh, smart.
So he did luck out there. But it was weird because I was out of town. I went out of town to Chicago the weekend that all the rain came. And then I come back, I was like, holy shit, this is nuts. And then I was on vacation. I left Tuesday night to go to the beach in Alabama, and I've been out of town for the last...
Like you evacuated.
I've been out of town the last 5 days, so I've really missed... Like, I haven't been here for a ton of it.
We really didn't get much of the flooding.
I know we didn't, it would have been nice to, like, if I had time, like, I would have liked to go help.
No, you would. Shut up.
Do something.
You'd like to. Yeah, I'd like to do... Me, too. I'd like to help a lot of people, but I don't, you know.
It doesn't mean I would have, but it's just like...
Right,
like,
right. I don't know what you're saying. You know, right.
So you could like to and not help from the beach?
All right, you know. You know?
All right.
God bless the obviously anyone who goes through flooding, we know what that is. But, we don't have any personal stories here with us. I mean, we were... Yeah. You know, I kept seeing it on the news, and I said, yeah, it's raining. You know?
It reminds me, I mean, it's funny, but it's Katrina, and then 11 years later, it's Baton Rouge, or it's New Orleans, and now it's Baton Rouge.
Right.
It's almost like everybody who left New Orleans and moved to Baton Rouge because of the flooding now has to move back to New Orleans.
And not only that, like, they weren't even required to have flood insurance. A lot of these people don't have flood insurance.
Right. Her 22% had flood insurance in the affected area.
Maybe if I didn't have to have it, I wouldn't have it, but I still feel like, after going through Katrina and my house flooded, And I had flood insurance. I feel like wherever I go, if I live in Louisiana, like whatever it costs, I would just buy
it. If not very expensive, is it?
Well, especially up there where it's never flooded.
It will be now.
It's gotta be really cheap.
It will be now.
Right. I thought I saw somewhere where they said it was like $67 to have flood insurance.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely could have been.
In 11 years, we've had citywide. Of two of the biggest cities. Well, I mean, Baton Rouge not.
Well,
so much.
No, right. It wasn't Baton Rouge. It was Denham Springs, right, and a lot of the smaller communities.
Like 85-90% of Denham Springs houses flooded.
Yeah,
that's something. And Denham Springs getting
nuts.
So big.
Yeah, it's pretty big now. They got a lot of.
But I mean, look, a lot of this was post Katrina. Like a lot of people decided to go to the Baton Rouge area.
The same people.
I wonder if. I wonder, did it flood by Bass Pro Shop? Did it flood by the X right there?
There were pictures where.
Oh, really?
Right there.
Right. Okay.
It looked like it was at least halfway up the wall. The picture that I saw.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I dated a girl in Denham Springs, so I know a little bit of, you know. I mean, I'm kind of.
Yeah, you know that main road, Damon. Then up the
interstate.
That was all the whole.
Really? God. Wow.
So, anyway, for those of you who don't live here, or for those of you who listen to the show and do live there, we hope you're doing all right. We'd like to help, but we won't. For those of you...
What a dick.
You said...
Well, that's you, Jason. That's your mantra.
I was out of town. I was gone.
And so, if
I would have liked to help. I just wasn't here.
You know you could help. You know they still need help.
Right.
I know. Look, I'm going... We're going to... This Saturday, we're going to help one of Renee's cousins lost everything, and we're going to help gut a house.
All right.
Saturday.
There you go.
So I am going, so fuck you two.
Good for you. All right. Well, then the rest of you, but for serious, you know, we've all, now at this point.
Oh, well, hold on. Do we want to do any kind of game preview for Friday?
No.
First home game?
No, it's a preview.
No, it's preseason.
No.
You got the Steelers. It's the third preseason game.
Oh, because it's the Steelers. Let's talk about it. No.
Well, okay, third preseason game. You're going to see a lot of starters for at least a half, right?
You're going to see Drew.
Damon, are you going?
Well, yes, I'm going.
Okay.
Are you going?
Look,
no, I'm not.
Going to make us do a preview. Don't let him do this. Game preview.
Okay.
What are you going to do?
Well, all fans will be there for Friday night, you know.
Oh, real?
I don't go to preseason. Jeff, you want to come down in and go to the game? You can bring your girlfriend. Y'all can go to the game.
Nah.
Y'all can pregame with Damon.
Real game.
Okay. Real game's going to be harder to come by.
All right. Anyway, that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling all of your friends about your Dome Patrol podcast. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. And if you don't listen to us on iTunes, Android, or Google Play, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast.
Dad Cam.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, Rio Olympics donkeys.
Oh.
Good night, Who Dat Nation.
We made it through the whole Olympics without ever talking about it.